Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano. And with me, as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Massive week. And we were just talking pre-pressing that record button, Dano, that the advice is kind of different depending on how many trades you've used up until now. Because there's people that are looking at possibly having 32 or 31 trades left after this week, Dano, which I think is crazy, but that's what can happen if you get a few starting selections really wrong and you've got to fix it. And that's why you don't start guys like Sam De Koning or Matt Flynn or anyway.
Anyway, we'll move on to the group winner, and that was Harrison with his team Toasted Jam with a score of 2,096, Paddo. Who did he have?
Yeah, huge score in another bye round. As I'm just bringing it up, he's also leading the league as well. But had Jack Sinclair VC, which was a nice, felt like a POD VC because McRae went nuts last week. But I mean, Sinclair was always going to go nuts as well. We mentioned that last week. But
yeah, Marvel, yep.
Zorko and Sinclair, the double in defense there, pretty crazy. It's interesting. So he's gone a couple of a pair up. So Petrarca and Oliver in the midfield didn't do great, 80 each for them, but had Brayshaw, O'Driscoll, and Reed all ton up for the midfield, the Frio midfielders. So huge there. Had Cherry and De Koning like everyone should. And the forward line is fairly stock standard. Did manage to get Davidson's 129, which, oh my fucking God, Dano. What a performance that was. I don't know what Michael Voss was thinking by using his man as a spare in defense, letting Davidson do whatever the fuck he wanted. But anyway, and some people had him stuck on the forward bench, Dano, which would have been really unlucky. That happened to me in fantasy, but I don't really care that much about that format. but yeah, and Lindsay in the flex spot, which didn't take anyone's spot. That was a bit devastating as well. But yeah, Rankin, Horn Francis, McRae, and Daniel with Davidson up forward. So forward line was the one that did really well for Harrison there. So great job, Harrison. Overall rank of 1838, which is awesome.
Sweet. Now, we'll go on to our own ranks, Paddo, and we've got two completely different starts to the season. So what's your rank and your round score just gone?
So my score for this round was 1899, which is not good. The rookies started off really well after Friday night. All the defender rookies went great after being shit last week, but then it was the midfield rookies that really let us down, unless your name was Nathan O'Driscoll. So my season rank has gone down to 11,821, so not great, but I'm happy with how my team's looking, so I'm not too stressed. Probably am using my first boost of the season this week, and it is trading out a primo. I ended up, so those that follow me on Twitter will know this, I ended up trading out LDU for Lockie Whitfield.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's fair.
So I just switched up my structures because I was worried about the defense rookies. Apparently, I had nothing to worry about because I all scored over 78 on the weekend. But I just changed up my structures there because I was too nervous about the upcoming 22 players on field. So changed up my structures there just to get sideways LDU to Whitfield. I think I'm going to trading out my second primo of the season this week, Dano, in Nick Martin. I'm not happy with how he's performing.
Yeah.
So at this stage, I'm flicking him to Matt Rowe. So going back to the same structure as last week by getting a defensive premium out with a midfield rook, midfield premium in, but I think Rowe's value is too good to ignore, but we will get to that.
Yeah. So I was actually devastated with my score because I thought I was going to look so fucking good with Sinclair's 162 and whatnot. And yeah, look, my midfield let me down hardcore, as did Max Gawn again. So I got a 1909, which was better than yours, but my season rank is 19,072. So not the greatest. I need to make up some ground, but it's like, is it panic stations? Maybe. I panic traded Tom Stewart out because I was just frustrated having a 9 and then a fucking donut. And Paddo won't like who I traded him to, but I did it to free up cash, and that was to Sam De Koning. So I did it to free up cash. I did it to free up cash, which I'm going to be using this week. But it's whether I boost or not. And there's a guy that I really want to get in, but I don't think I can. Well, I could, but it'd be sacrificing another guy. And, like, do we upgrade? Do we downgrade Jason Horne-Francis, for example? He hasn't been setting the world on fire. Do we just stick it out with him? Don't know. A lot of people trading him out. So, yeah, I'm still sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place because my midfield, Lachie Neale, 71, Clayton Oliver, 80. Finn Callahan, I brought him in, Pato, and he got the Finn McGuinness tag, 55. So, yeah, and, like, Xavier Lindsay on field for a 9. Sam Lawler, 45. Finn O'Sullivan, the most frustrating own at 44. Like, all these midfield rookies, where all the cash is meant to be made this season, and they are pumping out 40s, Pato.
Yeah, not good. The Nevitt one really hurt, and I'll say it till the cows come home. Like, Chris Scott, he does play rookies, but fuck me, it's so frustrating when he names him sub. I feel like I wanted to talk about this at some stage tonight. There are coaches that are clearly using the sub vest as a way of, like, resting their rookies, which obviously from a super coach perspective absolutely destroys their cash generation. Mm. I'm hoping that doesn't happen with Ashcroft soon, and I'm worried that maybe this week it will against Richmond. Hoping he gets a full game because he should be able to pump out an 80 against them.
Well, he got a 36.
Yeah, he did in a full game. Yeah, and then you got Elijah Hewitt, who was also the sub, but he did have some preseason soreness. So that doesn't come as a total shock. The Nevitt one did. Hopefully he gets a full game this Friday night. And then, I mean, Hasty, I don't even think was in the 26, and he came in as a late out for Jack Steele. So lucky I wasn't using him as a loophole. That would have annoyed me. And Camporeale getting dropped was a bit of a surprise. I'm hoping he comes straight back in because Carlton are looking very doo-doo.
And, like, this, for example, I get about 60 more points if I had Max Hall on field, just over any of those rookies, Pato.
Yeah.
It's just stuff like that.
The rookie roulette.
Yeah, it was terrible. I had Luke Traynor on the bench with no emergency on him because I had the emergency on Zach Reed, which is still good, but, yeah, it's just one of those things. At least Andy Brayshaw's learnt to tackle. That's a positive. Anyway, I could go on and on and on. But injuries to start with, Tristan Cherry, hamstring, pulled up a little bit tight, went off the ground in the first quarter, Pato, came back on, was fine.
Yeah, I didn't watch this game because I had basketball, but he was holding his hamstring fair few times, apparently. So we'll have to keep an eye on the injury list. They are not out as yet, but we need to hear an update on him. But best 18, you're holding him even if he misses this week, but just one to monitor.
Yep. Xavier Lindsay, so he got a knee injury. It's not an ACL or anything. It's a medial strain. So he's actually a chance, Pato, to play this week, apparently.
Wow, that's crazy. That'd be great to get his cash gen back up. Again, he'll be fine. It just won't be as quick as what we thought it would be once that 9 rolls out in 4 weeks. But he's a hold, especially if he plays this week. But if it's only 1 week, you're holding.
You know what I think is going to happen, Pato?
What?
He'll be sub.
I mean, he could be. What's another week? Hold him to the buys. He might be your last upgrade.
Harvey Langford played all right too, didn't he?
Yeah, he actually got CBAs, I believe, which is shocking that you draft a kid at 8 who is a midfielder and you're playing 55% CBAs. It's amazing what that kid can do in the role that he's played his whole life.
Yeah,
Patrick. The one to watch, though, Dano, from that club is Christian Petrarca, who has had about 50% CBAs the last 2 weeks and spending a lot of time in the forward 50.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Patrick Cripps, he had a hip injury from that massive pay packet weighing him down. Played through it, but yeah, Pato said, see how he pulls up.
Yeah, it happened really late, but because it was a close game, he stayed on and tried to brave through it, but did not look great afterwards. So I feel like it was just a cork. He landed on it after like a marking contest. So I feel like he'll be all right. He needs some help in there. Jagger's not back till next year. So Sam Walsh needs to start playing like the player everyone thinks he is.
Yeah. Sam De Koning, shin, subbed out, fucking shit times. That's all I can say.
Yep. Copped a knock, did not look good, and was subbed about 5 minutes later. So definitely one to watch. I also did notice, Dano, and you're not going to want to hear this, although you might have already rage traded him out, but he was spending a fair bit of time in defensive 50, not necessarily playing as like a fullback, but was certainly floating around down there while they moved Blitzavs into the middle. So just something to keep an eye on. I have been harping on about this. It was always going to happen at some stage. Possibly because of Tom Stewart being out, maybe that was the reason they just needed more height down there. But yeah, one to keep an eye on. This is why I didn't condone him, especially being a trade-in. Like, I can see the logic in starting him and hoping it went a bit better than it did. But to waste two trades on that, I don't think is wise or was wise. But anyway.
Jeremy McGovern groin to be confirmed. Yeah, that was awkward timing in that game. They subbed someone out, and then McGovern went down literally a minute after they've done the sub. So he ended up going up in points, though, Paddo.
Because the game blew out.
He went up in points. I think he was subbed out, or he went off on 94, ended up cracking 100 by sitting on the bench.
103 and 57% game time.
Yeah.
This is what happens with Jeremy McGovern. This is why I didn't touch him last year, even though he actually played a lot of games. But he's always got something fucking going on with him.
Yeah. Move on to the rookie trade-ins, Paddo, and the biggest one that I can think of is Riley Bias, 113K defender, 74 average, minus 81 break-even. Looks so fucking good.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping one of the defensive rookies were going to go shit this week because I was hoping to bring him in, but I probably won't be now. I'll probably have to let him go, sadly. I'm choosing the next guy that we're talking about instead. I am slightly concerned. Sydney haven't looked fantastic this year. And they've got some guys to come back into their 23. They've got Callum Mills, Lewis Malekin, Justin McInerney, Harry Cunningham, Fox, Francis Patton, all possibly coming into that squad or thereabouts. So I think he's not only a sub risk, he could even be a drop risk, which if you saw, and I saw the end of this game, if you saw that game 2 weeks ago before their bye, I think it was against Freo, you'd think that's crazy. But I mean, someone's got to make way for literally their captain. So, and Lewis Malekin is a premiership defender. So, one to keep an eye on.
Yep. Now, I don't even know if I'm saying this right. Christian Moraes?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, sweet. 113K mid, 73 average, minus 79 break even. Eye test wise, I had no idea what his score was, Paddo, but he looked fucking good.
No, he's great. Ex basketballer as well. Don't know. I coached against this kid. He played for the Waverley Falcons and was a gun basketballer. Couldn't beat my teams, but he was.
Is he the new? Does he have a basketball background? Scott Pendlebury, or?
Well, I literally just said he had a basketball background.
Yeah, is he going to be the new one?
He's not going to be Scott Pendlebury, but he is a gun. And looked really good, really good. So I think he's locked in one of those wings at Port Adelaide. You mentioned Butters coming back in, possibly affecting him. I actually think it's going to go the other way. I think it'll help because they need someone that's not that suki-suki-la-la to do the grunt work inside, and those outside guys will benefit from Butters being back in and showing Jason Horne-Francis how to actually play footy. So I think it'll help.
Big Ted Closey, 119K mid/forward, 71 average, minus 71 break even. So, yeah, much like Moraes, sub first game, played a full game the next one, although his time on ground wasn't the greatest in his full game. I'm going to say no just after hearing things from Geelong fans myself, Paddo.
Yeah, the low time on ground is concerning. I also think he's a sub risk. At the moment, he's in my team just because I need a forward. I might go the next guy instead, possibly. Yeah. But I think the price is good. It'll be a slower burn. That's the only concern. And when we're in upgrade season, we need those quick cash-making guys. Especially when you've got Lindsay, Nevitt, Hewitt, like they're going to be slow burns because of the sub risk. I think Closey will probably be another slow burn as well.
Yeah, and then the one that we forget still plays AFL footy, Joel Hamling at 159K, listed as a forward, not a defender. 73 average, minus 50 break even. Yeah, Paddo, you spoke about like people coming back like Melican and whatnot. That's the only issue that I have with Hamling.
How long can they hold it for? Yeah, they've also got the McCartan domino that could move back in defense, which I feel like happens at some stage as well because he's being tried up forward. So, yeah, there's only so many spots there and it's risky.
Yep. Now, Paddo, before we start talking about the trade-ins, there's a PSA that you want to let everyone know about before they start thinking about trading.
Yes. Please, when you are trading people in, and this includes rookies because you never know because they might still be around, look at your buyers when looking at especially primos, but any trade-ins from now, because most good Supercoach players will have looked at that before round zero just to make sure you don't have like six primos in one buy week. And you make your decisions based on that. There's a couple of buys in particular that are really bad. So round 12 has North Melbourne, Western Bulldogs, Port Adelaide and Carlton, which is pretty brutal when you consider Caleb Daniel, Tristan Cherry, Harry Sheasel, Bontempelli. Everyone's going to want to get him in at some stage. And then you've got Butters as well, who I think will be in most teams as well. And if you've got Tom DeConing, Patrick Cripps, all those sort of, like they've all got the same buy. So you need to consider that when trading guys in. Round 14 as well, that's the other difficult one. You've got Collingwood, Sydney, Gold Coast, and Richmond on that buy. Richmond aren't too relevant. Most of their rookies should be gone by round 14, but you do have Nick Dacos. You have obviously all the Swans guys. So Roberts, Callum Mills, he's coming back soon. So he's going to be dirt cheap and you're going to want to get him in before the buys. And then you consider all the Gold Coast guys. You've got Matt Rao, Noah Anderson. They're going to be really relevant. And Tuk Miller, which we will talk about. And then, of course, yeah, your rookies on top of that. So you need to make note of buy rounds when you're looking at that. After you've done your trades, if you've got Supercoach Plus, it's a really, really helpful tool. You've got the show buys button up the top. You can press who's playing in round 12 and just count your primos. Like I've just pressed round 12 right now. I have Sheasel, Cripps, Cherry, DeConing, Horn Francis, Caleb Daniel, and I've also got Moraes and Davidson as rookies who are all out in that week. That's where you need to have plans. Like, I don't plan on having DeConing by the buyers because I'm planning on moving him to a different ruckman. And I don't consider Daniel, Horn Francis, Cherry, Cripps, Sheasel as people that I'm going to trade out. So I'm going to have to hold those guys through those buys. I cannot afford to bring anyone else from those buy rounds in to my team. That played into my decision to trade out Luke Davis-Uniac as well. I was hoping it'd start off a bit better. So just want to say to everyone, check your buy rounds. If you have to do it manually, do it. Write down a piece of paper. Count your primos. Make sure that you can get a decent team. And don't count guys like Jackson Pryor. Don't count Angus fucking Hasty, Lucas Camporeale, Harry Boyd. Don't count them as players because they're probably not playing by round 12.
Yep.
So just be prepared.
Yeah. Here we go. We're going to start talking about trade-ins. So defense trade-ins to start with. I love how Paddo puts in their brackets Nick Martin question mark.
Yeah, so that was more because I, again, don't look at the questions before I answer them because I like to give my like straight off opinion on it. That's my dilemma, Nick Martin. I think I'm going to flick him off this week. So I've got a bit of money to spend. I'm actually bringing in a midfielder, but I can bring in a defender. So
yeah, okay. So yeah. We'll start with Dane Zorko, 620K, 137 average, 19% owned, 97 break even. I think the rule of don't spend money on anyone over 600K comes into play here, Paddo. He's going to have a down game at some stage.
See, the thing is, when is that happening? Because his run up until Hawthorn in round 11 is insane for halfbacks. Starting with Richmond this week, who he could well score 200, and I'm not even joking about that. Then the Dogs, then Collingwood, then St Kilda, then Gold Coast, then North Melbourne, then Melbourne. They are all teams that do not lock down in the back half.
I know everyone's thinking that Camden McIntosh is going to go to Lachie Neale. It would not surprise me if Camden McIntosh goes to Dane Zorgo.
So late in the game, McIntosh actually went to go sit on Jack. Was it Jack Sinclair?
Yeah, he did.
Or was it Wangan Milera? Yeah, he went and sat Sinclair. On Jack Sinclair. And like, it didn't really do that much, but it did a little bit. So it could be something that they look at, maybe. But I think it's now or never with Zorko. He's had scores over 135 every week, has he, Dana? Or was there a 133 in there?
I don't know.
Yeah, 135 plus every single week. That includes two teams that do tag a little bit in Sydney and Geelong. So we know the ceiling. We know the floor is pretty good. Now or never with Zorko. And the matchup this week is very juicy.
I'm saying that it's not now or never. There will be a time where you can bring him in. That's what I'm sticking by that. And it might hurt seeing his scores before then, but just wait for that down game or two because it's going to come. It is going to come. Max Holmes is the next one. 545K defender / midfielder, 114 average, 26% owned, 106 break even. Melbourne this week, looking all right. Pains me to say it, Paddo. Pains me to say it. He's looking all right.
Yeah, this is the other guy I'm looking at this week. So it's either going to be Holmes or the Ginger Ninja, Matty Rao, this week. I think their value is really good. Holmes' role is great. Last week, don't stress too much. He did get tagged. I can't imagine that becomes a regular thing. And he got 91 still. So it's not like he got tagged for a 40, which some premiums are doing, Dano. And I know you've got one of them.
Fuck.
Who's had a couple of fucking stinkers. So I think Max Holmes is really good value. He's obviously a keeper as well. So I think this is a really great trading option if you're looking at the cheap end or you already have a Zorko and Sinclair type.
One that falls under the 600K range still just is Lachie Whitfield, Paddo, at 595K, 116 average, 13% owned, 116 break even. So he's got West Coast this week. Honestly, I don't think you can go wrong with Whitfield. But again, he's another one that will have a down game, but I think his floor's still quite high.
Yeah, I don't see a tag coming until around 8 against Sydney, honestly. So I think this is a really good one for the next month. He will probably be 620-odd by that stage. You could wait for him and target him around the buys as well, depending on how – oh, he's got round 16. He's fine. yeah, obviously juicy matchup this week against West Coast. Pretty consistent as well, Dono. You know you're probably going to get 105 or so at the very least, and his spike scores can be as good as anyone's, so like 160-odd.
Yeah. Next one, Matty Roberts, 475K, 111 average, 40% owned, 72 break even. I'm not an owner, and I'm actually considering bringing him in because 475K and he's scoring like a fucking primo. So honestly, he could end up being a keeper, and if you can get a keeper in the 400K range, fuck off.
Yeah, I do think he's a keeper, 100%. It may depend on the role that Callum Mills plays when he comes back, but from all reports, he'll be straight into that midfield. So
yeah.
I don't think he actually affects Matt Roberts that much. But I agree, if you can get 475K keeper, I actually almost didn't include him, but then I looked at his ownership and thought, what the fuck? He's only in 40% of teams. And that could be a bit because of his buy, but he's had his buy. He's only gone up 40K. He's still great value. And again, if he's going to average, I think he can average 100, 105 and be a D6. And he may still be a top 10 defender by the end of the year.
Yeah. And then the last one's John Noble, 421K, 99 average, 1% owned, 52 break even. He looks comfortable, Paddo. And the Suns are firing. The only problem is they haven't really played anyone. So they get their first challenge this week against Adelaide.
Yeah, he's played West Coast and Melbourne, which are hardly, I mean, they're two teams that haven't won a game. So, yeah. Yeah, had a pretty easy start. The data is there, though. He is getting the most kick-ins out of anyone there. In saying that, it is an even spread. Like, there were, three guys that had three, one that had two, and two that had one on the weekend against Melbourne. So it is a pretty even spread. But in saying that, he does have kick-ins. And the only question probably is, like, he's probably not a top 10. So are you bringing him in to make 100K and then flicking him off? Or, you know, does he hold a spot until Callum Mills comes and then you make 100K off that trade or 150 or whatever it'll be? Not sure that's worth two trades, but it might be because he's going to score right over the next 3 to 4 weeks. He's got Richmond in round 6, North Melbourne in round 5. So there's a couple of really nice matchups there. And yeah, maybe he turns into a keeper. You just never know.
Yeah. Now, next one, midfield. So, shit. This one's a little bit different. So we'll start with Matt Real, 550K, 137 average, 4% owned, 53 break even. Yeah, might be his year, but we've also seen him start off like this before. And again, I really want to note that they haven't really played anyone.
Yeah, but I mean, when he started off well last year at Dono, he did it against good teams and then he had the down patch. And I can only put that down to him carrying an injury. So his opponents last year, when he went on his massive run, so Richmond, which didn't count because that was in round zero, Adelaide, Western Bulldogs, the bye. He didn't score against the bye. That was really disappointing. The Giants, the Hawks, the Swans, the Eagles, the Lions. He scored 65 against. He must have probably had Dunkley for company that game. North Melbourne, Geelong, Carlton, Essendon. And at that stage, after the Essendon game, he was averaging 116.5 after 12 weeks. So, yeah, there were some easy matchups. His highest score came against Adelaide, who he conveniently has this weekend. He had 135 against Hawthorn, who are notoriously hard to score against midfield-wise, and the Giants, who are one of the best midfielders in the comp, and he got 129 against them. So I actually think he's fine. I'm not scarred by last year, though. A lot of people had him and are just scarred because he was so bad after people brought him in. So I don't have that hanging over my head. I want him. I don't know if I'll end up with him this week. It might be next week. Maybe I'll have a look at him against Adelaide. But I think this could be his year.
Oh, fair enough. Well, I'm actually, if I was looking at someone in that 550K range, I'd actually be looking at his teammate, Took Miller. 552K, 128 average, 0.8% owned, 73 break even. Now, the reason why I say it is because his CBAs are down. In his first game, he had 8 out of 29 CBAs. Now, in saying that not his first game, that was his second game, 8 out of 28. But then he had 18 out of 31 the previous game, which still isn't as much as what we'd expect from him. But the drop-off came when Sam Flanders obviously has entered the team. And Took's now starting to play a bit more forward. He's kicking some snaggeroonies, Paddo. Could he be the forward line DPP saviour that we're about to get up in the forward line at 552K? Potentially. And I know it's jumping the gun a bit early, but it could end up being like a Jason Horn Francis scenario that I had last year where I thought he was going to get forward status and then never did. But imagine jumping on now, he continues on his merry way and then he gets DPP and you can just switch him up forward.
I can see the logic. I'm skeptical. I like it, but I'm skeptical because he's done it against West Coast and Melbourne this year. And now this forward half experiment did start last year. And it started against Fremantle last year in round 15, where he scored 95. Then he played Collingwood for 121. Then he got injured for 33 against North Melbourne, but that was in 44% game time. So he was on track for about 60 or 70. Then he scored 97 in round 23 against Melbourne, then 100 flat against Richmond at the MCG. And then he's gone 128, 127 this year. The CBAs are there, but it's floating around 30 to 50% this year. You're right about Flanders. I actually don't think Flanders got that many CBAs on the weekend. He got 41%. He spent a lot of time up forward as well. It's a shame he's already DPP for defense and mid, because it would have been nice to get him up forward again. He was a forward last year, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just the CBA. So he dropped from 58 to 28% on the weekend. So I would say it's looking pretty likely that he does get forward DPP. I'm just concerned about his scoring potential in that role. I think when the schedule gets a bit tougher for Gold Coast, he probably won't do as well as he has been the last two games.
No, fair enough. This is why we discuss him. The next one we got is Will Ashcroft, 463K, 104 average, 18% owned, 35 break even. Again, not sold, but hey, he's averaging better than Lachie Neale. That's all I can say.
Yes, fuck, he is. Was there? I'm just checking something. No, never mind. I thought he was on track for forward, but I think that's his brother. He looked really good on the weekend, Donor. His coach said he's probably played the best game of his career, and he won an All-Smith last year. So very, very big call. I think he's really great value still. He's got Richmond this week. The CBAs did see an up kick, and they played Lockie Neal forward to try and shake that tag, obviously unsuccessfully. So maybe it just depends. Like, maybe he's the guy that moves in if Lockie Neal is getting tagged, and how often you think that might happen. Or maybe they'll just try it against Geelong because he wasn't having any effects. But I like Ashcroft. I think he's good value. It's just, is he your M8, Dano? I'm not sure he's going to be good enough to be M8, but he could be.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. The other one that we got is Jace Burgoyne, 449K, 99 average, 0.4% owned, 19 break even. Playing that halfback flank role, Paddo, and we keep talking about Kane Farrell and shit like that, but then you got Jace Burgoyne just absolutely carving it up with a 121.
Yeah, so in round one, he played on the wing. He only got 50 against Collingwood, but against Richmond and Essendon, he played more halfback and got 127 and 121. So I don't think he's going to average 120 on the season. He's only a midfielder right now. Almost certainly will get DPP, though, and pick up defense eligibility. But again, is he D6? He could be. He's really talented. I mean, he's a Burgoyne for fuck's sake. So we know talent is in his blood. 100% yep. Game time on the weekend. And 96% efficiency, just the one clanger. So fairly faultless game in a loss. 121 is great. He's got that main distributing role down back, and I think it stays, and I think he's a really good POD.
Yep. Now we'll go to the forward line. We're going to rattle off a couple of names that people are likely going to have. So Isaac Rankin, 536K, 115 average, 32% owned, 103 break even. Thought he'd be more owned than 32% myself, Paddo.
Yeah, that's why he's in here. I think if you don't have him, the break even is okay still, but it's not going to stay that low for long. You've seen enough, surely, in 3 weeks now. I think you need him.
Yeah. Maybe the other 68% have Bailey Smith at 389K, 114
almost,
and
almost a straight 100%, isn't it, between those two? That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I have Rankin and don't have Smith, but Smith will probably be my priority this week.
I have both.
Oh, there you go. So
I started both, yeah.
So he didn't have the greatest game on the planet, but still got an 81, which honestly is Jason Horne-Francis's best game, really. So
I want to fact check myself, but he went at about 20-something percent, I believe. Yeah, 28% efficiency, 10 clangers, 3 frees against, still somehow got to 81, don't know.
Yeah, so that's the floor.
Yeah. I think that'll be his worst goal for the year. He had 11 tackles, which is very unlike him. And he's playing against Brisbane as well, so that has to come into it as well. If that's his worst game for the year, I think he's fine and absolute must-have, especially at that price.
Yeah. Now, here's the one that people are talking about, Paddo. Bailey Humphrey, 270K, 108 average, 2% owned, minus 55 break even. Now, he's done it to us before, Paddo. He's done it to us before where he has a massive spike game. People started trading him in and he drops off since. But he's actually had back-to-back 100-plus games. So people are taking notice. Dimmer loves him. That article from last year is circulating around again where Dimmer was referring to him as like a DeGoey, Dusty Martin type, Toby Green type player, and that they want him in the middle and push up forward. So, yeah, the only questions there is about Sam Flanders and how he's going to be. But at the moment, it looks like Humphrey's taking those CBAs over Took, more so over Took, and maybe Took gets pushed out even more once Flanders kicks into gear. So,
well, the thing that Dimmer did at Richmond with Dusty was Dusty would start in the middle and a half forward like a Jack Graham would come into the midfield and essentially be the stoppage midfielder after the CBA. So I feel like Took Miller is that half forward coming in as the extra stoppage while Humphrey pushes forward. Flanders is the one that we need to kind of watch out for, though. I agree with that. Flanders is literally somewhere that can play anywhere on the ground, just like Harry Sheasel. So you might, if you're looking at Flanders, you might just have to deal with the bipolar kind of scoring there. But I think Bailey Humphrey is really good value. I think he's cheap enough that you can take the risk and it's not too bad and you can reassess at the buys. I want to find a way to get Bailey Humphrey in. I think it's legit, even though, yeah, again, West Coast, Melbourne, like it's two easy matchups. But it's so cheap that you can afford to take a risk like that. And is negative 55 break even.
Yeah, too many positives, not enough negatives there.
The only other thing we have to consider, though, Dano, as well, is that forward lines are generally, most people have gone pretty heavy in the mid-price department. Like, I look at my team right now. I have Rankin, Horn Francis, McRae, Smith, Daniel on field. There's my five what will end up being keepers. And Sam Davidson, who is scoring fine. Like, I don't necessarily need Humphrey, and maybe flex. One of those forwards turns into my flex guy, and that's my way of getting seven of them on field. But, like, that's something you need to consider as well.
Yeah. Last one we got is Ryan Marich, 265K, 76 average, 1.4% owned, minus 37 break even. Now, he was an absolute slut in defense for the West Coast Eagles on the weekend. Got a 123 bulk kick-ins. Yeah, I'm not... It's kind of like what you said. To be honest, I'd rather Bailey Humphrey over Ryan Marich. I'll say that.
Yeah, I think people are falling in love with this one score far too much. Worth noting, Fremantle have given up so far this year, like, big scores to defenders. And it's not like Richmond or St Kilda, who usually have that main guy in defense score 150, but it's like you look at the Supercoach scoring and four of the top five guys are all defenders and they're like key defenders. So I feel like you need to have another look at this guy. The problem is with the negative 37 break even, you have another look at him and he's over 300K. If they come out and say McGovern is out for 12 weeks, maybe I could be a little bit more convinced that Marich is an okay option. But they really don't have anyone in defense, Dano. Like, is Marich going to end up getting caught playing more of a lockdown along with Harry Edwards in defense and be stuck playing the fucking Tom Barras role that I fell in love with 2 years ago? And you just end up with a fucking dud who you stuck with because injuries are happening and rookies are getting dropped and all that sort of shit. So I think if you look at it objectively, Gold Coast round one, he was the sub, played 42 minutes for 33. So that's a bit over a quarter and he got 33. So that is good. And then round two, 115 minutes. So that's a full game, scored 72 against Brisbane. So sure, that is a tough matchup. But I feel like 72 is about what he'll do. And I don't think that is worth the trade-in.
Fair enough. We'll go to question time, Paddo. So I'm going to go to Facebook first. So the first one is we have from Peter from Nerds for Life Supercoach. So he's gone absolutely mad right now and he's wanting some advice. So the first one is he's got the first trade, leaves him 74,800 left over. He wants to trade out Lawler, O'Connell and Lindsay and trading in Humphrey, Bice and Marais, or trading out, which leaves him with 101,800 left over, Jason Horn Francis, Lawler, O'Connell for Humphrey, Bailey Smith, Riley Bice. Or the third option is Jason Horn Francis for a chocolate Big M.
I think you take the chocolate Big M. No, I'm kidding. I think Francis will come good. Horn Francis will come good. So I understand why people are frustrated, but when you take a bigger scope, like they've got Butters to come back in, I think that helps Horn Francis. Rosie will stop getting the attention as well. So again, that will in turn help Horn Francis. So I wouldn't be too concerned about trading him out.
So you're saying don't trade Jason Horn Francis?
I wouldn't, and I probably wouldn't do the first one either. Now, O'Connell got sent to 2035, so he's obviously in trouble. I wouldn't be trading out Lawler as well, and I know his scoring has not been good enough, and I know his break-even is 47. I think he will start getting a little bit more midfield time eventually. Got to remember, this guy had his jaw broken by, mind you, the same action that Ryan Mansell is about to get 3 weeks for, but let's not get too salty about that on a Supercoach podcast. And I think Lindsay comes back and he does reset that that scoring because he's a gun. So I don't agree with the trade outs. The trade ins are all fine, but I would be trying to do something different.
Yeah, fair. James says, who are the taggers going to go to this week? Might as well have a quick squiz at the games. Hello.
Where does he say that?
Who's the taggers go to this week?
I can't see that message. Anyway.
On Facebook, I can. It's right there.
So
we'll have a quick squiz. So Richmond versus Brisbane.
I think Alex Caruso tries to tag someone from Brisbane, but not well. I feel like, who does Jordan go to? Maybe he goes to Sheasel, which as a Sheasel owner, I don't like, but he'll go to someone. West Coast will try and put someone on someone, but it's not going to go well.
Can we just say something, Pato? Why do you keep, like, for people that aren't NBA fans, can you explain why you keep calling him Alex Caruso?
Well, Alex Caruso is a bald white dude who plays basketball with a headband on.
Yeah.
And Camden McIntosh is a bald white dude who plays footy with a headband on.
Yeah. So just for those people that are like, I don't see Alex Caruso on Richmond's list, that's why. I just realized you keep calling him Alex Caruso. We haven't actually, like, not everyone follows the NBA.
Camden McIntosh is who I'm referring to there.
Yeah.
I feel like that Port Adelaide St Kilda game probably gets a double tag. They may try and go to McRae if Steele's not back. But, I mean, Richmond tried to go with McRae and he still scored 120, so that is fine. Willem Drew might put a blanket on him as well, though, so he might be in trouble there. Windhager may go to Rosie against Port Adelaide, so that is one to watch out for. If... Rosie went nuts in the preseason against St Kilda. So that is almost certain to happen if Butters doesn't play.
What about, sorry, did you discuss Giants versus Eagles?
Yes. I said someone will try and tag someone and it won't matter too much.
Well, Callaghan and Whitfield owners kind of don't want them to get tagged. Callaghan realised that he is very taggable against Hawthorn and was visibly frustrated because they just stopped his run. So maybe the Eagles try that as well.
Yeah, but Jack Graham can't keep up with Finn Callaghan.
Yeah, that's true.
And Liam Baker is nowhere near big enough.
They're
the two guys that they've used as taggers.
Oh, there we go. There's your taggers.
No one from West Coast is relevant, so that isn't a problem. I was just going to reference George Hewitt, Dano, Thursday night. I know Dacos has a really, really good record against Collingwood, but Hewitt is playing in the midfield and Voss needs to try something. Actually, he had 101 in round 21, and that must have been a Hewitt job. So, yeah, any Dacos owners probably frets on that game.
I'm just going to say something with Dacos. His break-even's 134, and his projected's 113, so he's only looking at going down 9K, and he's currently at 602K.
Yeah, he's one to watch for next week, I think. And Geelong may try someone, but I mean,
but it's then, not- sorry, the week after, Dacos has Sydney.
Yeah. So it's 2 weeks away.
Could get a double tag.
Yeah. Geelong may try and tag someone from Melbourne. Hopefully it's not Oliver, but it might be.
All right. Next one from James. Marich versus Humphrey. Will Humphrey's scores decrease when Flanders gets more mid time?
We kind of referenced that before. We had a pretty lengthy chat about that.
Yeah. Cool. Sounds like Butters is back in this weekend or next. What's with everyone and Marais?
Marais is playing on a wing and Butters is a midfielder.
Easy. Gorn, what to do from James as well?
Sit it out.
Keep. Yeah,
what did he score on the weekend? Was it
in the 80s?
The problem is this week was always going to be a bit of a schedule down game for him just because Witts is really tough to score against. And Witts is the one guy that Gorn has pretty much struggled with his whole career. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. Witts gets really aggressive against him. He's big enough to combat him around the ground, like physically. And he pushes forward and makes them really accountable in defense.
I'm just going to let you know that Max Gorn is at 619K, so he's dropped 50K already. His break-even's 212, and if he gets 99 this week, he'll go down 50K.
He could get double that against Geelong this weekend, don't he?
So his history against Geelong has been 111, 92, and 98.
Yeah, but if that's Sam De Koning, Max Gorn will put him in some tally-hos and just smoke him.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned. I would be holding, because the problem is, who are you trading him to? Because it's not Tom De Koning, because you're wasting two trades there, unless you don't have Cherry. But even then, like, he's on the downward trajectory because of his low scores. He's got a break even of 149, which you could get against Brody Grundy, but
yeah.
you never know. Who else even is there? I didn't even look at Ruckman Dano because no one's like, I don't think he's a trade out. Like Lloyd Meek, I just saw, is one of the highest averaging. No, it was just for this week. Jared Witts is averaging 127, but I don't think you go there. Luke Jackson has got Sean Darcy coming back.
Briggs got got a 99 in his return game. So he's about to go down in price because of his.
Yeah, but he's not ready to come in yet.
That's what I mean. So he's about to go down in price.
Darcy Fort's nice and cheap. You can maybe ride him, but does he even stay? McInerney had the shits, so he'll be fine for this week. Archer yeah. Reid, do you go right down and ride that for a couple of weeks? Like, I just think the options aren't good.
Yep, write it out. Liam says, are there any rookies that we should be looking to bring in for the likes of Lawler, Levi Ashcroft and Nevitt? I've already got Draper, Henderson and Cambriale on the bench. Ooh.
So Murphy Reid had a spike score. I don't like the role, though, and he's a big sub-risk.
He's does have 99K now.
Yeah, I mean, he paid more than that for Lawler. Lawler started at more than that. And he's got the Dogs and then the two of the worst teams in the league after that in Richmond and Melbourne. So the run isn't too bad after that. But yeah, he's already had a 67K price rise. I think if you're going to bring in someone, it's Moraes. But again, I don't think any of those three are trade out options.
Yeah, fair enough. Jason says Jason Horn Francis. Jason says Jason Horn Francis. down to either Sam Darcy, Bailey Smith, or Bailey Humphrey, and what to do with Lindsay. So we're saying hold Lindsay, find out what the fuck's the go. He should only miss a week max. If not, he's playing this week. The Sam Darcy call, Paddo, is one that I've been looking into. He is looking great. And usually we don't like key forwards in Supercoach, but yeah.
We do love unicorns.
We do love unicorns.
So I think it was after round one, I tweeted about this, and I'm gonna try and find it. March 15th. Sam Darcy is an absolute freak. Could he be an AA this year? I'd love to own him at some stage. He's so fucking good to watch. He is an absolute unicorn. I just don't think he's going to keep averaging what he's averaging.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I think if I'm a firm believer of holding Horn Francis, but if you really need to trade him out, if your team is so good that you're looking at trading him out, I think Smith is the one.
Yep.
And Lindsay's a hold.
And Michael says, Humphrey. Is Humphrey a trap? ? I don't think so. There's too much upside.
Yeah, I feel like Humpty B. Bear will be fine in your team. I don't think he's a trap. I think he's the real deal. I think he won't average what he's averaging now, but he could average 90, 95, and he'll make good money at the very least.
Yep. Now, I've got a X formerly known as Twitter. We've got Josh saying, thoughts, guessing Nevitt's job security isn't as good as we thought. So his trades out are Nevitt, Finn O'Sullivan, and Sam Palpepper. Trading in, Caleb Moraes, Neil Erasmus, which is one that we really should have spoken about, actually, as the rookie thing, and Bailey Smith. Erasmus so the is reason, hard because, yeah, obviously, old mate was a late out kind of deal.
Yeah, the reason why he didn't make the rookie trade-in list, quite simply, is because I've gone past F on the injury list. So they have... Oh, Nat Fyfe isn't listed on there. So Nat Fyfe is going to come back in.
Diego Amira's absence.
Diego Amira was sick, and he is another midfielder. Who else are they missing out of the midfield? No one. But like they push Erasmus out. So Erasmus is a big no-no from me. If you're looking at someone in that price range, it's closey, I think. But I wouldn't be trading out Nevitt. It looks like he's got the cash there. So if you can just go O'Sullivan and Palpepa to Moraes and Smith, I'd be doing that.
Yeah.
And save your boost.
So his season rank is 40,009.
Jesus. Oh, he sent his team as well.
Yeah. So he's showing us.
It doesn't show his bank, though.
It's showing us his team after the trades.
Yeah, I'd be going closely instead of Erasmus, but holding Nevitt.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Any other questions that have come through, Paddo?
No.
No. Okay. So we are not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing. Every week we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. Paddo, how have you gone with your captains and vice-captains so far? Because I've somewhat nailed mine, although I really missed out on Sinclair, but I went with McRae instead. But I can't be disappointed last week with a 120, considering how fucked my team was.
If I can remember how to get to my previous scores, I will be able
to... Yeah, that'd be nice.
...tell you. I can never remember how to get into it.
I think you go team tools. No. History. You go history. Yeah. Oh, shit. There should be a way to check your captains, surely.
Oh, my scores. It's on the side there.
I can't see my scores.
On the right, under your fixture. So instead of fixture, it's my scores. Anyway, so my captain this week was Jack McRae for 240. My VC was Cam Oliver, which obviously Cam Oliver, he's a basketball player. I did that last week. Clayton Oliver for 80-odd. I last-minute changed from DeConing, who I obviously would have taken, but I only lost 13 points there, so that is fine. In round one, I captained Tristan Cherry for 122, did something crazy and ignored the Patrick Cripps VC for 120. So that could have backfired. I got two more points out of that. So how good am I? Sorry, four more points. And in round two, I captained Dane Zorko for 136.
Nice. So I can't figure out how you've done this, Paddo.
Are you in the app?
Yeah.
So I think if you click the arrow up.
Hang on. Oh, this is.
You know how you get to the search bar?
I don't even know how to do that, Paddo.
So if in your team, there's a little arrow above where it says leagues and rankings facing up.
The fuck are you talking about? There is no leagues and rankings. Oh, yeah, leagues and rankings. Yep. Okay, up. Yep.
So can you see the up arrow? Press that.
My scores.
Oh, and then you'll be able to see.
I didn't even know that this was a thing.
That's where your search bar is on the app.
I've never even seen it before. I'm learning something new. Okay, so I got Jack McRae's VC score round three, so not too stressed there. Lockie Neal round two, his only 100-plus score was 133, got him there. And then round one, I had Max Gorn's 129 times two, his only 100-plus score. So I'm actually kind of somewhat nailing my captains, and that's probably what's saving the fuck out of my rank right now from being any worse. So yeah, my lowest has been 120. So that's okay. That's safe. The 120 rule's all good. Yeah. Let's go start with Thursday night's game, Collingwood versus Carlton at the MCG, Paddo.
I like Patrick Cripps in this one. I got a feeling he might go big. DeConing is... See, I haven't even looked at this because I am so locked into my VC and saying it's not funny. And you'll know... People will know why in a second. Tom DeConing should do fine against Darcy Cameron, although he is looking tired, and that is one thing to keep in mind. Thursday night game as well. So,
yep.
Yeah, maybe like a Dan Houston will pop off, but no one really has him.
Yep, okay. I don't really like anyone in this. I think Dacos gets a tag, gets a low 100, if not sub 100. Yeah, nah, I'm not about it. We'll go to Friday. Friday's game. Woo-woo! Geelong versus Melbourne at GMHB ABCDEFG Stadium.
So I've got someone, Dano, that averages 129 against Geelong in 9 games. Never dropped below 100.
Clayton Oliver.
And also averages 138 at Alphabet Stadium. And that is Clayton Oliver.
Yep.
I wouldn't be putting the C on him, but if you don't have the two guys that I have locked in, I would love a cheeky Oliver VC here.
What about a Bailey Smith?
I could get convinced by Bailey Smith as well because Melbourne have been leaking massive points to like those sort of outside types this year. Just on the weekend gone, Dano, Gold Coast had Took Miller, John Noble, Bailey Humphrey, Noah Anderson all go 109 plus against them. And Matt Rowell's obviously an inside mid who went 136. So they've been leaking big scores to midfielders, but also like wingers as well. So whatever role Bailey Smith's going to play, he will probably do really, really well on Friday night. Is it meant to be wet on Friday? Because I think there's rain on Saturday.
Thought it was meant to be overcast, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, 0 to 3 mils. So not worth even mentioning. But Bailey Smith, I don't mind. It's just the calf and the knee. Like I think there's enough doubt there that you leave the VCs and Cs off Bailey Smith and you take whatever he scores. Because he's also probably a red vest risk as well if this game's out of reach at 3/4 time.
Yep, fair. You don't like Max Gorn?
Yeah, here's the other one. Sorry. I did mention before when we had the question, he could get 180 against Geelong.
Yeah, I hope he does. Really lower that drop in cash. We go to Saturday's game. This is the interesting one, Paddo. Fourth versus second, Suns versus Adelaide at People First Stadium. This screams a Noah Anderson, People First Stadium, big 170 game for me. Screams it.
There's another guy that averages big against Adelaide. And that is Matt Rowell, who dropped 155 against them last year. Averages 120 against Adelaide in five games.
Yeah, I can see the Suns going undefeated.
Whoa. Undefeated all year.
Not all year, just till this round. They'll remain undefeated.
Oh, just... yeah, I think they'll win this as well. They don't lose to me.
Imagine if they end up going undefeated. I have to quickly edit my clip then.
Called it. Yeah, I like Rowell or Anderson in this one. Adelaide haven't really been tagging. Rankin might do well against his old team who don't tag.
I still like the Suns more so than the Crows players in this one.
Yeah. Is Crouch going to get another 30?
Oh, fuck, man. That hurt me in freaking... my Supercoach draft leagues. Oh.
Serves your wife having Matt Crouch.
I picked him up late. It's all.
Oh, cool. He got to 47. Whoa. Look out. That guy needs to get fucking.
He was good previous weeks.
Anyway, next game.
The real blockbuster. Battle of the Dens. So we got the Tigers versus the Lions at the MCG.
Yeah, Zorko could well get 200 in this game. So he is my locked-in VC, not even thinking twice about it.
You know,
161 against Richmond last year.
His age finally catches up with him in this game.
And it's Richmond, no. The only thing that's stopping me from straight captaining him is if the game is 80 points at three-quarter time and he might get subbed.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. That's the only reason I'm going to the VC, because I've got a really great backup option on the Sunday as well.
Yeah, okay.
I think also Neil is a great VC option. I think if you've got Dunkley, he's a great VC option. Will Ashcroft is a great VC as well. Yeah, rattle it off. They'll probably all go 120 plus. Hugh McCluggage, if anyone has him, the five teams that have him, he will do great. Who else?
Isn't he one of the highest averaging Brisbane players right now?
Yeah, he's up there. Levi Ashcroft will probably get a fucking 100 this game.
I fucking hope so, if he's not sub.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. North Melbourne versus Sydney. 10th versus 11th. Who would have thought North Melbourne would be higher than Sydney right now?
I want them to slide. Richmond have their number one pick.
Can I just say something hilarious? So Carlton's first pick belongs to Hawthorn, and who was the other one? I think it's Melbourne's first pick belongs to
Essendon.
Yeah, how fucking grim is that?
Yeah,
so grim. But anyway, North Melbourne versus Sydney. Who you got in this?
I wouldn't see him, but I like Cherry for a VC if you don't have Dane Zorko.
Chad Warner, let's go.
Yeah, maybe. Caleb Daniel.
How's your CBA's tracking, Paddo? The old Chadster.
Oh, he'll get forward status, most likely.
Trying to see.
So he's averaging 54% on the season.
Forward?
No, 54% CBAs.
Oh, okay.
So he had 68% on the weekend, which was actually the highest he's had all season. I'm trying to work out who dropped. Oh, McInerney was out, so... McInerney was at 21%, so he basically picked up those CBAs. If he doesn't get it this DPP round, he'll get it next one once Mills is back, almost certainly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair. I was just having a look then. Interesting, interesting. So Sunday's goal, that's it for that one, I'm assuming. We're not going anymore.
No.
Sunday's game, Giants versus Eagles at Engie Stadium.
This is where my captain is Dano, Lockie Whitfield against West Coast.
Ooh.
He will be my backup option if Dane Zorko doesn't get 140.
Interesting. Very interesting. I like Finn Callahan in this.
Could you trust him with the captain, though?
Well, you don't have to. You can VC him.
Yeah, I don't love the two games after this for a C option.
I do, for one in particular.
Jace Burgoyne?
No. but, yeah, I'd love to see a Finn Callahan Spazzo game. Tom Green is another one, if you're a top random Tom Green owner.
Kieran Briggs?
Oh, fuck, yeah. I doubt anyone owns him, though.
No, no one owns him.
Fuck. No one else?
I mean, no one has them, but, like, the forwards, any of them could pop off, but no.
Oh, some people have Toby Green.
Could be worth a VC.
Yeah. Port versus St Kilda, Adelaide Oval.
Jace Burgoyne.
Fuck. Wouldn't it be funny if Jason Horne-Francis just comes out and absolutely goes ballistic this week because everyone's traded him out?
He could well.
I hope everyone, so.
A whole bunch of people traded out Will Ashcroft on the weekend and he went nuts.
Yeah, I hope it happens.
Roland Marshall's another nice option in this game if people have him.
Jack Sinclair's actually got a higher projected, but I want to let people know that the reason why I started him was because of his Marvel games early. Now, his scoring so far has been great at Marvel. So last time he played Adelaide at Adelaide Oval, he got a 95, but he did play in the midfield that game, Paddo, and we know how we don't like Jack Sinclair in the midfield.
Yeah, I don't like this. Port Adelaide do lock down a bit up forward on halfback, so I don't love Sinclair in this one.
Okay. No Jack McRae?
No, I think he gets Will and Drew.
Yep, okay. We'll move on. Fremantle versus Western Bulldogs, Optus Stadium.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've got nothing.
Caleb's wrong.
I mean, maybe. Liberatore, maybe.
I want to see Andy Brayshaw actually just pop off for a change. He doesn't have a good history.
Good matchup, even without Bont and Chalor.
He doesn't have a good history against them.
Yeah.
Mm.
If Sean Darcy doesn't play, I don't mind Luke Jackson.
Yeah. Tim English is a shell of his former self right now.
Yeah. The problem is it's the last game of the round, so you just Darcy might get named and we won't know if he's in or not until 10 past four.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. We got buyers for Hawthorn and Essendon, so you can loop any players from there if you want. I'd probably say you're looping. Who would you be looping in defence? Probably Trainer. That's pretty much it, really. If you're a Will Dane owner, one of the midfield rookies.
Yeah, I mean, I've got two Essendon defenders on my bench in defence, so I'm not. I'm having it to field Trainer, but he will not be part of my best 18. Yeah, it's really only the Essendon guys, isn't it?
Unless you got Will Day.
Yeah.
Yep. Paddo, what's your ex formerly known as Twitter handle?
At PATTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. Don't have a local legend for you guys this week. No one really sent anything in for that, but I will keep an eye out on the socials in case there is another local legend like Matt LaFontaine last week. Shattered the world record legend. Our Facebook page is Supercoach Co-Captains. We just do podcasts. We don't do all the other shit. Even though you guys keep asking us to write articles and whatnot, maybe we might team up with someone. We don't know. But right now, it's just podcasting, isn't it, Paddo?
Yes.
Yep. All right. So from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Paddo.
And this is us signing
the fuck off.